Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like you said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now.
For
you
God's
shut,
sake.
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, and that there is Rex Hupke. And we are just having a quick pre-show meeting to discuss what things we would discuss. And we just started making a list, and it was like, you know, let's just turn the microphones on and start, because there's a list. We have a list of grievances, because it's Festivus every day.
Yes, year-round Festivus these days.
Well, I think that we can... So when we last met, because we were not here last week, when we last met, I suppose we were speculating about whether or not Kavanaugh would be confirmed.
No way that's going to happen. Oops.
Our track record of being wrong about everything.
No, I don't think we said...
No, we didn't.
Yeah, I think we both thought he would be.
Oh, yeah, I said...
We live in a disgusting...
All this trash, and nonetheless, he will be. It won't matter.
Because we live in a sewer.
Although I did not think it would be done quite as shittily as it was.
The same. Yeah.
I knew it would happen. I just thought it would be delayed a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I just think the dismissal of, we looked into it for 10 minutes. Couldn't really get anything out of the 40 people we didn't interview. Peace out. Bye.
Yeah. No evidence. It was far worse. I had a glimmer of hope when they agreed to the FBI investigation, because I do trust the FBI personally. But then the FBI was constrained. They were reined in by the White House. Mm-hmm. And so they did a complete sham investigation. I mean, that's preposterous. They didn't even speak to Kavanaugh and,
right.
and Dr. Ford.
I'm going
Ford,
to investigate
so.
You by not speaking to you.
Right. It's perverse. And we're hearing from all these people last week and this week who say they contacted the FBI
and said, I would like to speak with you.
Right. And again, not the FBI's fault. They're told they can't do that. So it's not a criminal investigation. So they aren't obliged to, you know, just sort of follow it like that. So
that's pretty fun.
Yeah. And then Trump turning on Ford and mocking her during that rally. It was a rally in Mississippi last week. God, I mean, just, you know, I don't remember. And it was like, the thing that really stuck with me after that was watching the people there, especially the men that are just cackling.
Cheering on. Yeah, they were like so, they thought it was so funny.
And you know, I mean, again, you are welcome to not believe her story if you want to, but her pain is very real. And it is absolutely certain, I think, based on what we saw, that something bad happened to her. So if you want to argue whether it was Kavanaugh or not, fine. But clearly, she was sexually assaulted. And so you're laughing at that. I mean, you can separate it out, right? I mean, you can be nice and sympathetic and say, sorry, but I just don't believe that it was this guy.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that personally, but I think there was a lot of evidence, and I don't think he did enough to prove that it wasn't him. But that's my point of view. If you have a different point of view, that's fine. But to take it to mocking her is preposterous.
Right, because to mock is not only to acknowledge, but it's specifically to belittle. It's like, I see that something happened to you and that it's painful to you.
Mm-hmm.
Go fuck yourself.
Right. It was ferociously inhumane. I mean,
that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
And it just made me sick. And I honestly, I did actually think when Trump did that, because I know that the sort of quasi-sane yet equally sinister Republicans trying to push him through were not happy that he did that. So I thought maybe, I was like, oh, God, how can they possibly? But, you know, sure enough, they did. I zipped him right through. And, of course, you know, like Susan Collins and, I mean, Jeff Flake, they all just dropped right into line. It was ridiculous.
Susan Collins was horrifying.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Mm-hmm. Shameful. Like that. Here's the only thing I rest in is that that's her legacy. Like,
yeah.
That just made you fucking famous.
Exactly.
For turning on women and being a piece of shit, mouthpiece of the patriarchy is really what you were. But it's that thing. There is a group of women. It's not always tied to women her age, but you see it more. I mean, I think we talked about this right after the election, of like women who wanted to align themselves with Hillary but couldn't pull the trigger like women who identify as Democrat, but ultimately like moved more conservatively because like there's something about like that's inherently threatening about exposing the privilege that she herself benefits from. Mm-hmm. She being that voter, in this case, she being Collins. Like she was not prepared to betray the patriarchy and its structures and the white male privilege stuff that ultimately benefits her, that she benefits from. Therefore, she turned around and you know, gave such lip service to it, only to have it immediately backfire on her by her colleagues that she was kissing ass to. I mean, we kind of see this, like we've talked about this before with Palin, like this. And a little bit with, what was her damn name? Michelle.
Malkin?
No. Midwest. Help me. Brain fart.
Oh, Michelle Bachmann.
Bachmann. There we go. I was like, pray away the gay. Come on, help me out. Who was it?
Yeah. Batty is.
Her, yes. So there's like I'm going to act tough and act like one of the guys, and the guys are going to trust me.
Yeah.
And they're going to, I mean, it's the same thing we see in like workplace settings when there's like the woman who is like the cool girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, feminism, am I right? It's so stupid. I just like to just do like that one to endear herself to men.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that will always backfire on that woman.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's exactly what we saw. Sorry to kick you right there in the podcast closet.
It's hard not to.
It's hard not to kick each other. but that's exactly what we saw with Collins. And that was so shameful. What I would like to discuss is the screaming.
Brett Kavanaugh screaming?
Well, there's been a lot of screaming.
I like beer.
God, he said beer so many times.
It's weird. He's weird. And just to jump off that point.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I don't mean to commandeer your point here. On that note, though, the thing that got so horribly missed here, and it just kind of shows how hard it is to get people to actually think about things in any kind of detail or anything, was, you know, the sexual assault claim started this, as well as the additional ones that we didn't even get into. But then his testimony became a totally separate thing, right?
That's right.
He was he obviously blatantly lied about his drinking, about the names of drinking. I mean, about stupid crap, which to me is in some ways worse than lying about big stuff. Because if you lie about the little stuff, you're going to not have any problem lying about the big stuff either. So anyway.
And it's also like needless lying.
Exactly.
Like,
it's
for
pointless.
So many of the things, like, you're lying about stuff that's so inconsequential. Like, who gives a shit?
Sure.
It's about pride and ego and power and like, I have the power to lie to you, therefore I will. It's weird lying.
Yeah, it is. It's like, right, exactly. It's so,
I mean, it points to a large character flaw to me. That
totally.
Really, like, when we're talking about character and fitness, this is pointing to a glaring issue.
Yeah.
Even if you step aside, like, all the shit he was actually discussing during that, just his temperament.
Yeah.
Just that should tell you this is not a man that is fit for that role. He does not have the temperament for that.
Absolutely. Once that happened, it was impossible to cleave the sexual assault claims and what the right referred to as lack of evidence from the temperament issue, because basically what they were saying was, well, we never would have seen that temperament if you didn't falsely accuse him of sexual assault. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
And it's painful.
That is the same logic of like, why'd you make me hit you?
Right. Right. It is. I mean, it's like abuser logic. It's absolutely messed up. And
if you would just listen to me, I wouldn't have to have these outbursts.
Exactly.
That's exactly what that is.
And it just shows you how just off the rails people who are in that kind of conservative bubble, conservative feedback loop are. And look, I always like to there's people in a liberal feedback loop too. That's a different matter. But in this case, like, there is no listening to reason here at all. And that was awful. And that's I hated to see what happened to Dr. Ford and I hated the message that this all sent to every victim of sexual assault on the planet, because it was wrong, just in the overall way it was handled and the things that were said. But it really bothers me that his own behavior did not get did not become a separate issue.
That's right. Which that it should have
right. It absolutely should have been. Anyway, sorry. I just wanted to get into that because that really stuck out to me. It was like just because no matter what you said, people were like, "Well, where's the evidence?" I'm like, "I'm not talking about the sexual assault claim. I'm talking about his damn demeanor and his ideological craziness that he's. I mean, he's spouting conspiracy theories. Well, what about this? But Dr. Ford didn't have any. She doesn't remember anything. I'm like, I don't care. That's not what I'm talking about.
Him being a hothead,
right?
And I mean, he. Yeah.
It's like trying to argue with a sewer cover. I mean, it just makes no sense at all. It's just impossible.
Argue with a sewer cover? I feel like I do that every day of my life, literally every day.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry. I got off of. Of your point, but
what was my point?
You were oh boy, can we rewind?
Play the tape back.
Yes. No, you were. Damn, I'm sorry. I forgot where you were going. It was a good place.
It was a great place. It was
once again, patriarchy intervenes and steals a perfectly good thought.
Way to go.
Sorry.
The white man just stole
yes,
my thought.
I just completely hijacked it.
I was going to discuss the many times that the word scream came up.
Right, yes. Okay,
so there was, we will not be bullied by the screams of paid protesters. Mm. There was that comment that was made by a GOP member, which is ridiculous. The paid protester narrative is ridiculous.
And anti-Semitic eventually because it goes back to Soros.
It's always going back to Soros. Yeah. With them, that's the if that was written, what mm-hmm. I just said, there'd be the brackets saying
yeah.
she means about she is quoting them. That's yeah. not what she believes. I'm right. telling you, it's a matter of time before someone takes this out of context, Helki. Yeah. We're lucky that the 11 people that listen to us have our back and get yeah. subtext.
Yes, thank every one of you.
No, I'm talking about during the confirmation vote, the person that was removed from chambers.
Mm, yeah.
That screaming of the word shame has been haunting my head since that happened because it was primal and guttural and it was the noise a lot of us were feeling at that mm-hmm. moment and the casualness with which Pence was like, get rid of her, you know, was just like, get that person out of here mm-hmm. was so that was chilling to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprising. Nothing about it is surprising because this is what a fascist state is and does, and these are the things. But it was so chilling to hear it like that and live, and that screaming. It was really. It was like that is naming what we're all feeling right now.
Yes, and that was not a fake scream.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And there was more, too. You could hear it echoing from outside of the chambers, too.
It was very symbolic because you could hear it being muffled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Exactly.
You could absolutely hear it being muffled. And I don't know. I couldn't stop thinking about that for days. I just kept thinking of that, particularly the noise of like once the voice was outside of chambers and being muffled. I could not stop thinking about that because that was so horrible. And I was like, well... Yeah, no, that's what we're doing now. That's where we're at. We're dragging people out. That's good. And
right.
And that kind of screaming, that kind of noise. So
that's horrible. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was a chilling is the best word for that. It was very.
Yeah, it really was.
You're just like, oh, God.
I mean, you know, we've seen this in many moments of great change of people just being, you know, attacked in peaceful protests and attacked in. For being inconvenient mm-hmm. is really what we're looking at, like someone being dragged away. And that's why I think it's important to protest and stand up for what you believe in. And I just don't give a shit about Facebook anymore. So like, just, I don't even care about the Facebook rants. I manage a brand on Facebook, you know, mm-hmm. and I like, that's what I go to Facebook for. I literally do not care about the rest of it.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I don't do anything on Facebook except just my own columns or whatever. I don't
right.
engage.
Like here, I posted the thing.
Yeah.
Done.
Every once in a while, I'll scroll through just to see a couple things from friends or whatever, but I don't pay attention to anything. Otherwise,
I look at the little bell that says you have notifications and I'll scroll through that and be like, is anybody interesting trying to get my attention? No, we're good. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, look, 58 people invited me to events I can't go to. Awesome.
Oh, a death threat. Cool. Okay.
That's cool. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Cool. And then today, this week, the Facebook portal was announced. Did you see that?
No.
It's a terrible idea.
Oh, good.
And I'm in no hurry to see it. It's supposed to be like an Alexa competitor.
Oh, yeah, I did. I'm okay. I heard, yeah.
Only it's a camera for your home.
Lord.
So let me give you the rundown here. Here's how it goes. I, consumer, am supposed to give you, Facebook, like $200 for you to put a camera in my home that I can be like, hey, portal, let's do video chat with Hupke, just so we can like sit there and video chat because, you know, the future.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the thing. Their video chat has a couple of purposes. One, to have conversations with adorable nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
Two, have conversations with people with adorable pets.
Mm. Yeah.
That's it. Unless you like are a person that's really into like showing people your junk.
Yeah.
That's really, ain't nobody else you need to be voice, like video chatting with.
Sure.
So for Facebook, a company I do not trust, to put like, hey, I'm going to give you money to put a camera in my home is a terrible idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, same Alexa too. I mean, it's the, yeah, there was an interesting story about the patent on the technology that Alexa uses.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not being used right now to collect certain types of information, but it is built with the capability to do that. So what they're, so somebody studied the patent and said, okay, they're not doing it now, but clearly they're getting it into your house so that they can do that at some point. And presumably with like, you know, fine print kind of thing. And so you don't even know what's going on, but they, you know, there's stuff like,
I forget the name. There's a name for that sort of contract that's either in or out. Right. Like you can't, like anytime a terms of service contract is updated, you may accept them or you may leave the platform.
Right. Exactly.
And so that's and they're so long and they're so bogged down. Like unless you are comfortable reading, you know, legal language, it's not going to be most people are not going to sit there and read it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do and you say, oh, but wait, I want to keep ordering detergent with my Alexa, but I opt out of this part. I don't want you to be able to collect this data.
Uh-huh.
It's either in or out. Like you know, very unlikely that we'll be able to opt out of just that one part.
Right. Yeah.
I love the idea of like, Alexa, please order more dish soap for me. Mm-hmm. I love that because it's, you know, got a lot of shit to remember in our lives. I think that's great. And I know the world was built for, at least the corporate world was built for a man with a housewife at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think corporate culture is stupid and doesn't work anymore because it's the world's different now. It's not the 50s when it was, when the world supported that model. And I mean, frankly, I think it was oppressive then, but now it just is laughable and doesn't work.
Right.
It really screws people. Yeah. So like, sure, that would be a handy thing to be like, Alexa, add this shit to my list because I do not have a house spouse to do those things.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, and everybody's running in circles anyway. So
that's right. So that, sure, that would be handy, but I'm not going to get that for that very reason because it's like the very next beat of it is data collection. And frankly, I say seriously so much. When I do it in a, let's say, shrill or excited way, often I set off Siri on my phone.
On your phone.
I've done that on the air several times. I'm going to like cover my phone, but several times I've been like, seriously? And it'll be like,
yes.
I do not understand what you're saying. Because I'll be like, seriously, that is just wrong. And it'll be like, I do not understand. That is just wrong. I'm like, damn it, Siri.
That's funny. But that's the thing, though, is even without, I mean, our phones are, I operate on the assumption, I know we're on a tangent here, but I operate on the assumption
this
that
just became Guth and Hupke on technology.
Yes, exactly. Look at how we move around through the issues of the day. I assume that I'm being listened to.
I think we have to
pretty
always,
much all the time. And not to be paranoid. Like on my laptop, I covered the camera.
I don't know.
And, I actually could do it on the phone, but it'd be kind of a pain in the butt. But yeah, I mean, if I'm like, I'll often put something over my phone, you know, like cover
it. Oh, yeah.
Because,
you know,
I just don't trust it. And maybe that's paranoid, but, you know, I don't, whatever. I mean, I think you should just, we're in a world where I think you just have to operate like, don't, you know, stuff, if you do something or say it's going to come out. Just assume it will and be ready to, able to defend it.
Even before all of this, like a mentor that I had early in my working life gave me the advice that never put anything in writing that you wouldn't be comfortable standing up in front of the whole newsroom and saying, this is why I said that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And don't ever put anything in writing that could ever be misinterpreted if taken out of context. And that has served me so well because sometimes it's really easy to write an email and be like, you know, listen, I want to talk to you about the following things and this and then and that, or to like bitch somebody out over email or something. It's like so much more effective if you just get up and go like, hey, I got to talk to you about that thing that you just said because it made me mad. Mm-hmm. Or just go, hey, give me a call when you have a second. if you have to like discuss something delicate with somebody,
right.
Because it's just not that I'm like, look, I'm not dealing in sensitive information anywhere in my career at this particular moment. But, you know, sometimes like when you are working on a story or something, yeah. like that, sometimes you are. Mm-hmm. I just don't put any of that shit in writing. And yeah. that, I mean, that said, I'm sure somewhere, some email that I've written, somebody could take out of context and be like,
oh, yeah, anything can be taken out of context. I mean, that if you try hard enough.
I mean, catch me on the right day, and I fully admit I've replied to emails with, I don't know, fuck it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Like,
but at the same time, I'm at, you know.
I've also never said, like, fuck you, you psycho, I'm going to sue you, or what. Like, I've never said something like that
right,
in
yeah.
an email or a text or, like, anything. It takes one screen grab to ruin your life.
Yes.
Like, just do not do that dumb shit.
Yeah, and you'll totally. Be
fine. So.
Good advice.
Yeah.
So the midterms.
Let's shift back to politics.
Yeah, because that's really, you talk about this, you were talking about the screams, and that, it kind of... Maybe it's not interesting. Maybe it's predictably cynical. I don't know. But the
maybe it's both.
The direction that the Trump and the Republicans are going, and it happened almost immediately upon Kavanaugh's confirmation, is this like left wing mob idea. These screaming crazy people who are going to take over if you don't vote there. They will do away with the borders. There will be no laws. There will be, I mean, they went right to completely outer limits crazy. And I think that was a tactical mistake on their part, because I think a lot of people watched the protests over Kavanaugh. And even if they didn't totally agree, I think that they got it right. I mean, first of all, those weren't violent protests. They were going after Congress people, senators and stuff, and, you know, in elevators. But there was mm-hmm. no, like, it wasn't, there was nothing, you know, they weren't throwing Molotov cocktails or anything like that. I mean, it was a pretty reasonable thing. And I think a lot of people related to what was going on. And I think a lot of people felt sympathy for Dr. Ford and for other victims of sexual assault, even, again, if they were okay with Kavanaugh. So, but it's amazing. I mean, you know, Trump has just yesterday said something about, he's basically saying that everybody who's on the left is evil.
Yeah.
I mean, he pretty much came out and said that, which is you look at the things that go largely unnoticed in this administration that would have caused explosive weeks-long coverage in past administrations. It's just remarkable. I mean, you know, imagine if Obama had said something like that, basically implying that all Republicans are evil. I mean, it never would have ended.
Never ending.
And it's a desperation move, I think. I think they know that the House is in deep, deep trouble of being taken over by the Democrats. They know that what's going to follow if the Democrats take the House in terms of accountability for Trump and investigations and that sort of thing. And they're just sort of trying the best to scare the crap out of everybody, because that's really all they've got. I mean, they can't even do a victory lap. Like, they immediately, as soon as Kavanaugh, there wasn't any like, woo, we made it. It was like,
no.
Right to, well, but, you know, look at these left-wing Soros-funded paid protesting mob, blah, blah, blah. You better vote, or you're going to be taken over. MS-13 is going to be everywhere. And these Democrats, I'm like, oh my God, you people are nuts. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. And I think, and I hope that it's an overstep.
I'm shifting a little bit about, but not, and that is, and here, but you'll see my train of thought. Comment one to that is the story, the comment that that Rand Paul's wife made. Did you see that? About keeping a gun.
Yeah, in case of liberals.
In case of liberals, she keeps a gun by her bed. I'm like, all right, yeah. Cool.
Yeah,
so you there's that.
Rampaging liberals.
But I loved that Twitter picked that up immediately and ran with it of like, did she just set up a murder defense for shooting him? I mean, it was like, oh, I kept the gun here in case it... I accidentally shot him. Like, it quickly went from like, she's going to accidentally shoot herself to she's going to accidentally shoot him. And then a lot of people started putting accidentally in air quotes. And then it became like, whoa, you guys, did she just set up her murder defense? I think she did.
Rand Paul's getting attacked from neighbors and now his wife's going to shoot him. Jeez.
I mean, can you blame any of the people in that scenario?
Yeah.
No.
He's another one that's just gone off the rails. Yeah, I mean, like him, Lindsey Graham, like something's
Lindsey Graham is leading the pack of insanity right now.
But it's all very
strange,
weird.
Little angry, weird little guy.
Yeah, I just, you know, people don't,
so much anger attached, like Lindsey Graham. There's so much like digging in his little weird heels on his male privilege, mm-hmm. that is so weird to watch. Like, calm the fuck down, guy.
Yeah.
Just chill out. You are freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, people, I don't think, especially politicians who generally have pretty carefully crafted images and stuff, mm-hmm. like that, I don't think they pivot that quickly. That's what raises my hackles a little bit, where I'm just like, somebody got something on you, mm-hmm. because,
you're,
man,
yeah.
that is a, I mean, because remember, he was a, like, he hated Trump.
That's
at
right.
first.
That's right.
And now, oh my God, he's licking his boots. I mean, it is bizarre.
And in such a weird way, right. with the behavior change. I have the same thought. Like, what's this guy doing?
Yeah, something, I'm so curious, and I think it's probably going to take ages before we really know all the truth and all the damage is going to be done in the meantime. But there, just,
that's fine. Like, you know what? This little, like, public fret and lots of outrage and fighting can, like, that's fine. I feel like most people doing meaningful work don't need to announce it, and in mm-hmm. fact are not announcing it.
Yeah.
So fight all you want. Mm-hmm. Make all the noise, do all the things, while everyone else is just like, all right, cool, cool. I'll just be here doing this thing. Mm-hmm. I'll be here making this. I mean, I think there's meaningful stuff happening behind the scenes. I think there's...
You mean in terms of the investigation? Or?
No, I mean, yes, but also just generally. I mean, I think there's people right. starting to build in meaningful ways. I think we're seeing new people entering politics from different spaces that...
Oh, yeah, big time.
...really matters. I think it really matters. The verdict of the Jason Van Dyke trial, I think that matters. Like, it's been 50 years since a cop has seen a conviction in this town. Like, that matters. That, I mean, there's plenty of political shit attached to that, for sure. But I think that matters. And I think we saw that immediately reflected in the reactions from that verdict. You know, I think
that's a good point.
I think there's like, and there were so many activists that I've known of just from covering things like that and going to them to, you know, I do those like audio essays whenever mm-hmm. I can go to a protest and interview people and just walk around asking people, why do you want to be here today? And so there's, you know, names that come up again and again, and there's people you know of mm-hmm. that are in that activist space. And I think a lot of the, you know, large TV channels were going like, this new activist, like this, I was like, that person has been doing this work quietly and humbly for 25 years.
Yeah.
Like, ain't nothing new about that guy. That guy's been doing this just because you don't like necessarily send out a press release. Sometimes like organizing is just a quiet person-to-person endeavor.
Sure.
That is a matter of having conversations and coalition building in a quiet way. It doesn't always have to be with a big bang. You know, it doesn't have to be in a big funded way. Sometimes it's with zero funding. So I think, like, fine, go fight, go do that. And I think we lose a lot of time with, like, hand-wringing from Democrats and the GOP folks. Meanwhile, I think there's meaningful stuff happening. There's still plenty of terrible shit happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, the number I just saw, I can't remember it. I think it might have been there were as many as 500 women running for office in this election. Like, it was a humongous increase.
That's cool. But, you know, we often stop that conversation at running.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Like, that thing. Lots of women have run.
Yeah, no.
You got to help good people that are of good and sound mind and that are actually for the communities they claim to be for. Mm-hmm. You got to help them win. It's not enough to be like, oh, that's so fun. All these women running for office. Mm-hmm. No, you got to win.
Yeah, right. That's true. Yes. But it's clearly a direct, there's a parallel between what's been happening and the fact that I think a lot of women have been like, okay, that's it. I'm getting involved. I'm going to try to be part of the change here because these guys are.
Should I run for office, Hupke?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
No, for real. Like, I think I'm entering a point in my life where I either need to, like, I don't know. I need to make that decision. Like, do I totally drop this and go into politics, like with my 10-year plan? Mm-hmm. Or not.
What would you want to start?
Like? I don't know. I don't know shit about shit, but like...
That I don't know shit about shit is going to be used in every
slogan.
Attack ad. So I would say don't, because you just blew it.
I don't know. I know a lot of things about a lot of things. But people have said that. People keep saying, like, you should run. So here's where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we like just approach women who, because I've asked everybody why, like the people that have said that to me, I'm like, why do you say that? Well, you're polished. Like you're comfortable in front of microphones and cameras. That's fine. I'm also not that polished. I've just done it a lot. I've just done this a long time.
Mm-hmm. That's a form of polish though. I mean,
I'm practiced.
Yeah.
But like polish sounds like old school broadcast and more of this after five, blah, blah. Like,
no, I mean, you're very natural. So that would be a huge benefit.
Cause I don't play.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not here for that kind of polish, but I've asked everybody and that's like the answer all has to do with very surface things.
That's
like
interesting.
You would be marketable.
Yeah.
Not like
you have good ideas.
Yeah. And like no one has said anything about ideas.
Yeah.
Some people have been like, well, one person said, you say the things I'm thinking sometimes. I think that you would be, you know, you'd have the balls to challenge stuff, which is true because I don't care because that kind of dumb shit doesn't scare me. But that's not a reason to me. So I'm worried. This is my worry. And here's where I'm going with this. I don't want people to get like flattered into politics.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like I'd much rather stand over here and make snarky comments. No, I'd much rather like write, you know, like write opinion pieces and just quietly do work to change policy and to help people in a more immediate way than like, I'm any good and I endorse this message. Like that sounds boring and awful to me.
Yeah, I get that.
There are people that can stomach that in a good way. But then there's also the argument that you don't need to. You just need to be a polished person and have the oratory skills and then surround yourself with idea people. I don't know.
Well, the thing, just what I thought just as you were talking about that was the number one thing about you that I think would make you great at that is that you would surround yourself with very smart people because you're not the type of person who would just assume you know everything. So like, I mean, if you needed...
Let's go back to that comment of, I don't know shit about shit.
Right. Which again, the attack ads are going to be fantastic because my opponent, Amy Guth,
I don't know bleep about bleep.
And on taxes, I don't know bleep about bleep. Yeah, that's going to be great.
Right. About partisanship, and be like, that motherfucker said, pick any number of times I've said that into this very microphone.
She is associated with known socialist Rex Hupke.
Don't be hating on socialists.
No, I'm just kidding. I just called myself.
Also, you're not a socialist.
I know, I'm not at all, but I just, that's what people would say. A lot of people, I mean, I get readers all the time being like, you're a socialist. I'm like, you don't even know what a fucking socialist is, moron, but...
No, most people don't. Most people think it's a bad word. I am very heartened to know that that is moving and that is no longer a dirty word.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was for such a long time.
Well, the right's trying to make it a very dirty. That's another one of their scare. You know, they're all socialists. The left has swung so far left.
That's great.
They just want socialism, man.
That's great. Yeah. That's exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah.
That's literally exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, like I've gotten that feedback from listeners before. Like, I am tired of this socialist message. I was like, okay, well, maybe change the channel. Like, because that's what we're doing here. So,
yeah, you can call it whatever you want. It sounds like basic fairness in general, you know?
But
again, the idea that, like, I mean, nobody rational, I don't think, thinks you're going to transform America into a socialist country.
Really?
But you can certainly have...
Some of us daydream about it an awful lot.
You can have capitalism with a socialist bent, I think, you know, like when it comes to in certain areas. I mean, you know, to me, the areas of most concern are healthcare, education.
Wait, what did you just say? You can have capitalism with a socialist bent?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means like... little bits of socialism mixed in.
Little bits,
yeah.
He says. L-I-L apostrophe, yeah. Little bits.
So you're...
Where would you preserve capitalism?
Well, I mean, let's put... let me stress that I do not have a detailed plan to lay out to you off the cuff here.
Sure.
But to me, you know, Medicare for all.
Yeah, word.
Great idea.
Yeah.
I think that as far as education goes, there should be at least a baseline... college education available to everyone.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you get rid of the pay, you know, the schools, private schools, all that. No, it just means that you do have, you know, through state schools or through whatever, you have a minimum college education opportunity for everybody. You have, you know, in Canada, there's free daycare, not exactly free, but, you know, those kinds of things to me make sense. I'm not interested in people, you know, of leveling the playing field to the point where you don't have super rich people, if they want to be super rich, I don't really give a fuck. I mean, I do think they should pay more in taxes so that it evens out and so you can fund these things. So to me, that's, you know, it's sort of like a capitalism in general with, you know, but you're providing for everybody still. So you, and I think that can be done. I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. Let's put it that way. I think the rich people would bitch about it endlessly because they won't be able to be as rich. But as I have said many times, especially with like our two gubernatorial candidates here, how much fucking money do you need? I mean, you've got...
In which we are watching two billionaires square off on the state stage.
I'm like, you know what? You could half... You could cut your money in half and you still have more than you and your children and their children's children will ever need. And, you know, so I don't care about that. I have no problem with rich people paying considerably more in taxes.
No. I mean, what I would add to what you just said is I believe that we cannot address issues like sexism and racism and xenophobia while under capitalism. I think those two things are more linked than most people are willing to consider. I don't think in a very straightforward way, I think in a, you know, fairly complex way, but I don't think that under the current terms of capitalism that we can make meaningful dents in the rest. There. That's my two cents on that.
Typical woman. No,
what in the fuck does that mean?
Oh my God. No, I mean, yes, that's a
typical woman.
That'll be my quote that'll be taken out of context.
Yeah. Pretty much like both of us never run for office.
Yeah, pretty much. That horse left the barn a long time ago.
I know, right. That horse left the barn years ago.
About 30 fart jokes ago. what's with Hupke and fart jokes? Mm-hmm. Is he qualified to be governor?
I think that horse left the barn for me about 10 years ago when I started on this station, in which my co-host was explaining to me that thing where you can't eat six saltines in 2 minutes, and we did so on camera. Pretty sure that's when my political career ended.
I've never even heard that, really.
You can't really do it.
It's impossible.
There's some strategy to it, but you really can't do it.
Six saltines in 2 minutes?
You're about to try it, aren't you?
Can't you just, you mean you have to eat them one after the other?
You can do whatever you want. Some people say like stack them, throw them in your mouth, and spend 2 minutes chewing them. Some people say like one at a time and like make yourself hock up a loogie and get saliva going. I couldn't get past like three or four.
Interesting.
So I tried to do this on camera.
Challenge accepted.
And I failed miserably. And I then had to like close the segment with a mouthful of crackers. And I was just like, it was gross. And there was crackers everywhere. And the engineers were really pissed because we did it in the studio. That's what I know about that. Okay. Nice. So predictions for the week ahead.
Well, gosh.
Oh, before we go there, though, I would like to talk about...
I can't even bear the thought of it. That's how bad.
Are we going to make it another week? Before we get to predictions, I would say the climate data, that like the new look at climate data that's really quite terrifying of like, you know, it's actually worse than we said.
Yeah. Oopsie.
You're like in a lot of trouble. That has kicked up some interesting conversations, I think. I've seen a lot more people talking about parenting or the possibility of parenting as a result of that. Like, what are the ethical things attached to becoming a parent right now? Like, consciously deciding to become a parent right now.
Knowing your child will exist in water world.
Right.
Yes. Okay. That's a movie.
It was a terrible
apocalyptic one. With what's his name?
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, yeah.
Gene Triplehorn.
See, I actually didn't mind that movie. Everybody hated it. It was totally stupid.
Extremely stupid.
I know. Sometimes I like a stupid
movie.
Didn't
it cost like an
$50 million? Yeah,
I don't know.
It was horrible.
It cost an obscene amount of money to make, and it was raw bad.
Yeah, but I didn't mind it. Sometimes I just want a dumb movie to entertain myself with, and watching, you know, it was like Mad Max on the water.
That's exactly what it
only
was.
Only bad.
That's so weird because Jean Triplehorn popped into my head this morning. I was like, wonder what she's done lately. And here we are bringing up Waterworld.
Yeah.
See?
Ta-da.
The world's all tuned in with the things.
That's interesting about the kids, though. Yeah, I mean, it's kicked up
a lot of conversations that I think are really interesting about future ethics, which, I don't know, I think maybe a lot, I don't know. I think it's easy to I mean, a couple of people weighed in and said, you know what? I had the same thought when I was having my children in the 80s under the Reagan administration. I think there was a lot of the same fears. They're fine. And I've raised some really awesome kids that have, you know, gone on to be some really kick-ass adults that are doing work to eradicate this kind of bullshit. So
yeah, I mean, I think you kind of have to have hope. And also, I will say, and I am, I mean, I very much believe, of course, in climate change and the science behind it.
Oh, no. There's a but, isn't there?
But, no. It's not really a but. It's just the point is there's so many variables in existence right now that I think to, in order
like
to...
Like we could get nuked before it's even an issue.
Well, yeah. That's, I'll be surprised if we make it till next week, to be honest. To me, it's a little hard to make a decision like that based on the information that we have right now, because there are many things that could go right. There are many things that could go wrong. There are many things that could extend that, you know, sort of deadline.
Yeah.
It could push it back. I mean, your kid who's born could be the one that figures it out. I mean, I think that I personally feel like that is overreacting dramatically to what we know.
I think also that the conversations we're having around climate change put way too much emphasis on the individual consumer and far too little on industrial responsibility.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right?
Like plastic straws? It's like, come on, plastic straws are not going to... Go ahead. I didn't mean to...
Well, but that was an interesting conversation to me. Like, I thought it was interesting because, like, straws annoy me. Like, I just don't like them personally, so I don't give a shit about them, and I usually say, no straw, please. But I thought it was interesting to watch that conversation play because, you know, you have some people saying, yes, it's small, but it's one small step and they're clearly disposable. And then you have other people saying, this gives drinking access to people who will not have it otherwise. Mm-hmm. Straws are important. Like, so suddenly it was about more than that. It was about, like, the privilege of being able to say, I don't want a straw.
Mm-hmm.
And conversations around access and disability, which I thought were really interesting. Like, that was a valuable conversation, even though it was like, you guys, the fucking straw. Let's, like, meanwhile, the fossil fuel industry is going like,
yeah, well, right. That's
they're
it.
Not looking
yeah.
here. Right.
That's why, yeah, to me, that is just I completely agree with what you're saying, because
right.
I think that those little things personally are just ridiculous and people need to focus on the big picture because...
Yeah. I mean, I think meaningfully, like, if we started making movements to put the fossil fuel industry under public ownership, mm-hmm. that would be huge. That would be giant. Like, something like that would be meaningful. When we look at the volume of packaging from, you know, pieces of shit things like Amazon.
Sure.
That, like, I have a list of grievances with Amazon. But, you know, nonetheless, you order a pen and it comes in a box wrapped in 800 layers of plastic and shit like that. Like, there's so much corporate waste, and that's like a direct to consumer way.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're talking about, like, sludge released into, I mean, right now there's been a bill introduced by Lipinski, and Duckworth has a similar one of trying to advance the amount of toxic sludge dumped into Lake Michigan. You would think it would be very little. It's actually a shitload that is allowed to be put in there. That's really alarming that we, you know, have this much environmental toxin happening from corporate entities. Is, you know, we get distracted talking about, like, oh, I don't have my blue bin. Does the blue bin really go to the city? I just think they throw in the trash. Like, fuck what we're doing. Like, it matters that we're recycling and that we're buying biodegradable items and that we're conscientious with our clothing and using cleaning products in our homes that are more natural and on our skin and blah, blah, blah. That matters. But also, we cannot, you know, just say, like, well, my lifestyle, zero footprint, so therefore... No, like, there's such a bigger problem happening in the industrial sector.
Exactly, right.
So we got to not lose sight of that kind of shit.
Totally agree.
Okay, now, let us go to predictions.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not yet, no. Well, no, this could actually be this is a more forward-looking prediction, but the most remarkable thing, truthfully, that happened over the past week and a half or so was that the New York Times dropped that massive bombshell investigation about Trump's how Trump got his money.
That's
basically
right.
How his dad operated all of these shell companies, and the New York Times specifically said that the president of the United States committed tax fraud.
That's right.
Not maybe.
We believe
not attributed
straight
to somebody. They straight up said that. And if you think that that newspaper doesn't have the best lawyers on the planet and that they did not scrub the living bejesus out of it to make sure that they could get away with that, you're crazy. So that was an amazing story, and nobody noticed it or paid attention to it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
I mean, it was a big... I mean,
what was it competing against?
I noticed Kavanaugh. That, too. It was Kavanaugh.
But it was a beat after that.
No, it was during Kavanaugh. It happened... when did it come? It came right before his confirmation, I think.
Oh, I saw it right after. And then, felt like it was...
Yeah, no, and then... Because it published after, I think, the actual print version, but they put it up online sooner.
Oh, okay.
So, the public can ignore that, but, like, attorney generals in New York are already looking into it and stuff. I mean, it was a criminal enterprise, period. I mean, it's just massive. So, I think that that's another one of those things, and I don't know how soon it'll start happening, but that's something where I think the New York AG's office is going to dig in big time, because there was massive tax fraud going on with all this money for years and years and years.
That was a
fascinating
story.
And there isn't a statute of limitations on that either.
I know, isn't that great?
Yeah, so that's something on the horizon, and it may... I mean, who knows what's going to happen prior to the midterms? There's not that much time left, but that's going to be an issue. It's just there are going to be so many competing issues happening here with that stuff, with Mueller. You know, Mueller's been real quiet for a while, so I don't know. That may be on purpose. They may not do anything around the midterms. But so, yeah. But I'm guessing some crazy's coming our way one way or the other.
Yeah, I feel that, like, you get that, like, Spidey news Spidey sense. Like, I've been feeling some news Spidey sense, and I keep thinking, is it? No, it's not Kavanaugh. No, there's more. There's something, like, there's a rumble. But then there's also the rumble of, like, I really believe in quiet, meaningful ways that a lot of conversations are happening with women that are real important.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a part of several of them that really are, like, not just... Oh my God, same. Not that. Not like just commiseration, but there's some, like, powerful, purposeful, behind the scenes, quiet sort of, like, what are we doing?
I hope so.
That is. I mean, yesterday I had to get a certified letter from the post office, which is a pain in the ass to do because they send you to 5 post offices to do that. when you are in this business, sometimes you're taxes are complicated. Mm-hmm. And so it was like an interaction with the IRS. They had to send me something back by certified letter. And it was not quite the news I wanted. And so it was, like, frustrating to me because it meant I need to scrape together money a little faster than I thought I did to pay my share that I'm happy to pay. But I thought I had more time to do it. So it was like that.
This is from your heroin distribution, right?
Exactly. Yes. Okay. They taxed that pretty well. And there was a woman in line ahead of me who was getting her security deposit. And what it sounded like came out is, like, she had to leave a situation quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so her security deposit was mailed to the house where she's staying right now. And she can't afford to go live anywhere else until she gets that security deposit back. And you could tell, like, the situation she left seemed like it was a painful one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's an abuse situation or what, but she is staying with a friend or somebody right now. And she's trying to describe this to this woman at the window at the post office, and who was just like, I'm sorry if your address doesn't match. And she was like, you don't understand. My landlord had to send it to me because I can't tell them. It was like, well, why didn't they send it to your old address to be forward? She was like, you don't understand. I can't do that. And she just started to cry. Because she was so frustrated. She's like, I've been waiting on this money. I can't stay here any longer. I've got to keep moving. I can't move forward. And she just, like, she's broke at that point. She started to cry. And I could just feel it from her.
Yeah.
Like, this woman has been through some shit. And she just needs this fucking check to move on in her life. And I was like, that's the economic shit that makes me so mad.
Yeah.
When you can't even care for yourself because of, like, I'm waiting this one thing. So she gets it resolved. Like, a supervisor comes over and kind of feels for her. And, I mean, even the woman behind the counter, she's like, I feel for you. I just can't do these addresses. Like, it's got to match your ID for me to give you this. She's like, but I have the tracking number. I have everything. You don't understand. It's today or never.
Oh, God.
And
yikes.
And I'm sitting there, like, I walked in like, oh, shit, I have this letter from the IRS. Oh, my God. And then I'm, immediately, like, listening to this woman. I'm focused on her thing. And she gets it resolved finally with the tracking number. And I think sympathetic women behind the window that were like, fine, fuck it, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was the supervisor, and they get it worked out. And she leaves. I go, and I open the envelope, and I'm all obviously, like, very upset. And at that point, I've been to several post offices. And I open the envelope, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I have to pay this faster than I thought. I don't have that money. Like, what am I going to do? Shit. And so I was also very frustrated. And it had just been, like, a high emotional thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us just have a lot of old stuff on our minds and new stuff on our minds right now. And there's a lot. And we're having a lot of really liberating conversations, but we're also like releasing a lot of stuff that's mm-hmm. been sitting for a long time. And so in the like little foyer thing, entryway area of the post office, like I too just kind of got choked up, and I walked outside and I just leaned on this railing, and I just kind of got emotional for a minute, and I realized she's still there and she was outside crying.
Oh, God.
And I looked at her and she looked at me and she was like, what? And I said, well, it's nothing like your thing. I said, I thought I had longer to pay the IRS, and I have less time than I thought, and it's going to really screw me up.
Right.
And I said, I feel like I just got on my feet after like a really bad financial time where I didn't have enough work. And now it's going to get knocked out from under me. And that just makes me so mad. I'm happy to pay this, but I just needed, you know. And I said, I feel like it's this cycle that you're trying to do the right thing, but you can't pay.
Quite get there.
You can't get there because you can't. It's like you can set aside money for taxes when everything you're making is going to just mm-hmm. getting by, right? So we have this conversation and we're both like crying and we're just frustrated, and all of a sudden she looks at me and she's like, we just gotta smash the patriarchy. I was like, I know, we really do. And then we stood there hugging and crying like this total stranger. I don't know her name, she didn't know mine.
Oh, that's really, I mean that's very sweet's not the right word I'm looking for.
It was,
it's
we
very
had a
nice
moment.
It's
we
a nice
had a
moment.
Nice little
yeah.
moment we yeah. had a nice moment, and I'm like, I hope I see that woman again, just because I feel like, I mean, she's seen my Social Security number because I showed her that paper.
That was,
and I was like, look at this bill. She was like, damn, that would fuck me up too. Right. Like, so we're like sitting there crying. I'm just like, I feel like we can't. We were both saying like circumstances. And I think, you know, her situation was much worse.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
I can
understand.
Figure mine out eventually. But like hers had some interpersonal stuff to it. But it was like both of us are just like trying so hard to get ahead.
Yeah.
Of course, she was like half my age, so I got no excuse. So, but, I don't know, we had a moment, and I feel like that both gutted me a little bit, that like we're all feeling this, but I think like by virtue of the fact that we're starting to have conversations and know that we're not judging each other for them, I think those are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those that makes useful. Sense. I think some powerful things could happen, and hopefully they will happen on November 6th. So.
I think even deeper than that.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, I think there's like major, you know, healing stuff happening mm-hmm. right now as women are having conversations with each other, you know, in meaningful ways. Also, I've decided I'm going to start invoicing men for emotional labor.
It's very close. It's a nice side gig.
Right. Like, because it's not... You know, I'm one of those people, like, strangers like to talk to me mm-hmm. and just say things to me randomly. That happens, and that's fine. But I've had many men, some I know, some I don't know at all, like, random strangers, like, so what is it you women want right now? Like, I'm afraid to even look women in the eye right now because of it. And I'm just like, well, welcome to what it's felt like to be a woman.
Forever.
Because if we think that if we, like, say good morning, that you might actually come back and try to drag us in an alley and rape us and say that we were flirting with you.
Right.
So... I'm real sorry you're struggling.
It's
right
a
now.
Tough time to be a guy, Amy. You have to understand.
I know.
Jesus.
It's really rough on you guys. I know. Yeah. I can tell. I feel your pain. And by that, I mean not fucking it up. But for the like, hey, I want to be a male ally. So how can I, can you teach me how to like be a good male ally? I will bill you. And I will teach you and I will bill you. And I will bill
charge.
You exactly what I am worth.
Yeah.
I will bill you exactly what my time is worth. And I'm happy to, but I will bill you because that is actual work.
Yeah, right.
And so that's my thing. That's what I'm. That's my prediction is I'm going to start sending invoices.
Nice.
I'll answer your goddamn question, but I'm going to bill you.
Sweet. Then you'll get so much money, you'll be able to buy us a larger podcasting closet. So that'll be nice.
I know.
Sweet.
And I'll decorate this one because it's kind of gray.
It's horrible.
There's gray fabric on, gray burlap on the walls.
Yeah, they could mix in a picture or
and
something.
And some gray Formica countertops and a gray computer and a gray phone and a gray carpet and gray doors.
Nice.
Lots of gray.
Yes.
So I might put up something.
Something fancy. A little hotel art would even work.
Can we have a picture of Marx?
Yeah. There you go.
That's what I want.
Why not?
For the podcasting closet, we're going to add a picture of Marx.
Yes.
Okay, then. So that does it for this episode of Goofing Up Can Politics. Scream is what I'm going to close with.
Good.
Don't worry about not being a dick to each other on Twitter. Do whatever you need to on Twitter. Just scream. Scream in the faces of everything that's offending you. And if someone's asking for your emotional labor, labor's labor. Bill them for it.
Charge them.
That's what I say. Good times. Call. I'll make a standard invoice from the feminist empire. And we'll just, from the feminist collective, this is the standard letterhead and invoice.
Yes.
I'm going to do that.
Just like rip it off the pad, hand it to him. All right.
Sure, sir.
We're done here.
Oh, can we also maybe have demerits? I think we should have demerits. We can just like issue citations for aggravated dipshittery and patriarchal oppression. I've got this really worked out. And then we can fine people like a traffic ticket.
Hey, there you
I'm
go.
Issuing you a citation. This is about a $50 fine for the ogling you just did of that young woman that walked by you.
Yeah, that'd
I'm
be
doing
good.
This.
Go for it.
This is going to solve my IRS problem.
Yes.
Of course, then
lickety
I'm going to
right?
get taxed on that.
Yeah,
so.
Of course.
That's all right. I don't mind paying. I want to pay the taxes. I just don't, you know, anyway. It's complicated. You can't catch up when you're like going, should I pay my tax bill or should I buy groceries? Which of those things should I do?
Yeah, that's not a position anybody should be in.
That's right. Bad, that's yeah. right. And in fact, I would say this. My health coverage has lapsed because I couldn't pay it because of this tax situation.
That's
where
dumb.
I'm at. Like, if I get hit by a bus right now, I'm screwed because I do not have health care because I'm paying off taxes.
That's ridiculous. That's not, I mean, richest country in the world, and this is the way things go. So.
And I don't have it nearly as bad as some people do.
No, I know.
So fuck it. So yeah. There's that. So everybody, scoop up a nice big steaming bowl of fuck it. Let's overthrow some patriarchy and do some things. We shall see you next week on Guth and Upke on politics and technology
and whatever
patriarchy, probably dogs. Sometimes seals, totally sometimes cats, once in a while plants, occasionally behavioral analysis, like mostly behavioral analysis.
There you go.
We're on all those things. We're back at our bullshit is what we are. Bye.